This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Russian and Ukrainian forces exchanged artillery fire in Ukraine's eastern Donbas region on Saturday. Earlier, Russian cruise missiles exploded across several Ukrainian cities and towns. Workers cleaned the area within the central city of Dnipro, where officials reported 3 people were killed and 15 others wounded in the missile strike. The northeast region around Ukraine's second city of Kharkiv, the regional governor said an overnight Russian missile attack killed 3 people in the town of Chahuyev. And in the central Ukrainian city of Vinnytsia, officials said the death toll from Russian strikes rose to 24 after a woman died of her injuries in a hospital Saturday. Ukraine has said 3 children are among the dead in Vinnytsia. The latest fighting comes as Russia's defense minister directed his troops operating in Ukraine to further intensify their military operations. Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said the move was to prevent strikes on eastern Ukraine and other territories controlled by Russia. He said this in a statement posted on the ministry website. Large parts of England could now set record heat waves next week. AP correspondent Shelley Adler has the story.
This heat wave is a warning sign that our world is in danger and needs our help.
Katie White with the World Wildlife Fund for Nature.
Climate change is making these extreme weather events, such as heat waves and wildfires and droughts, both more frequent and more intense, which is harming people, but also harming nature.
Temperatures may hit 104 degrees in parts of England Monday and Tuesday. The old mark in 2019 was 101.7. Britain usually has moderate temps in the summer, and many homes and businesses do not have air conditioning. I'm Shelley Adler.
This is VOA News. Strong winds and hot, dry weather are frustrating French firefighters' efforts to contain a huge wildfire that has raced across pine forests in the Bordeaux region for at least 5 days now. It's one of the several wildfires that have scorched Europe recently. Among the worst have been in Portugal, where the pilot of a firefighting plane died when his plane crashed. In France, 3,000 firefighters backed by water dumping planes are battling blazes in the south. Iran has imposed sanctions on 61 Americans, including former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, for backing an Iranian dissident group. Tehran made the announcement on Saturday as months of talks to revive a 2015 nuclear deal remained at a deadlock. Iran state media reported that others blacklisted by Iran's foreign ministry for voicing support for the exiled dissident group Mujahideen-e-Khalq included Republican former President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton. Giuliani, Pompeo, and Bolton, all Republicans, have been widely reported to have taken part in events supporting the group. Both Pompeo and Bolton served under President Trump. The sanctions let Iranian authorities seize any assets those Americans hold in Iran, but those steps do seem largely symbolic, as such assets are unlikely to exist. A Texas man could get the longest sentence yet for his part in the attack on the U.S. Capitol building. AP correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
Federal prosecutors call for a 15-year prison sentence for Guy Wesley Reffitt, a Texas man who they say not only wanted to block the certification of President Joe Biden's election, he wanted to drag lawmakers out of the building and take over Congress. Reffitt, the first person involved in the riot to go on trial, was convicted on 5 counts, including threatening his teenage children should they go to authorities. He wore body armor, a helmet, was armed with plastic tie handcuffs, and a holstered handgun. The prosecutors say Reffitt, a leader of a 3%er militia in Texas, planned for weeks for the January 6th assault. He will be sentenced on August 1st. Tim McGuire, Washington.
Afghanistan's cash-strapped Taliban government has tripled prices for coal in less than a month to raise revenue amid a lack of direct foreign funding and its booming coal exports to neighboring Pakistan. A spokesman for the Ministry of Mines and Petroleum in Kabul told VOA on Saturday that coal is going for $280 a ton. And some drivers in Cuba have been lining up for days, occasionally more than a week, to fill up with diesel fuel. AP reports officials there apparently have been sending scarce fuel to power generation plants rather than fuel stations for use in vehicles. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.